Would you turn in your scriptures to Judges chapter 6? In Judges chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 40. Judges chapter 6, this is the word of our God. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts for number. But both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and all from the hands of all your oppressors and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me." Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Then Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot. He brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff which was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it "The Lord is Peace." And to this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now on the same night the Lord said to him, "Take your father's bull and a second bull 7 years old and pull down the altar of Baal which belongs to your father and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. And build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold in an orderly manner. And take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah which you shall cut down." And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down and the Asherah was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, "Who did this thing?" And when they searched about and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing." And the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it." Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal? Or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar." Therefore on that day he named him, that is Gideon, Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he had torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken." And it was so. When he arose early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only and on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground." And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. That is the reading of the Word of God. May He bless us through that, and then also now as we hear the Word expounded. Israel has turned from their sin once again. We've seen it over and over already. Even though they've continually experienced the mercy of the Lord, they turned from Him. And so the Lord sends Midian to trouble them. You see the situation every year. The Midianites come into the land and they destroy the produce of the ground. They even destroy every, it says in verse 4, every sheep, ox, and donkey. And so there was little meat. There was little produce of the ground. All the harvest was nothing, basically. And so basically this is a huge devastation. It's basically like a famine for 7 years, because the Midianites continued to come in 7 years and do this. And we know the reason why. If we remember our scriptures, I didn't remember this, but Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 31 tells us that these are the things that will happen to those who break the covenant, that the people will come into the land and destroy their produce and their flocks and animals. And so here's that. That's the situation. And Israel cries out to the Lord. Now what we see normally is that when Israel so far in Judges has cried out to the Lord, He sends a judge, but not here. He sends a prophet to speak the Lord's word to them and remind them of their history. He reminds them of who He is, of what He has done, and how Israel responded in disobedience. And sometimes we might not think that this is the kindness of God. Israel might not have thought this was the kindness of God as they heard the prophet to bring the word, to criticize, to rebuke them, to point out their sin. When we are in deep, troubling trials, often we think that we need deliverance from those trials. We need deliverance from the suffering. But sometimes, and perhaps most of the time, the Lord will give us His word instead. And He'll tell us what we ought to do and who we ought to be trusting in. We are to see it as the word coming forth. It is, as we are to see it as a blessing. We are to see exactly what Israel needs to see, and what Israel needs to hear. That's exactly what we need to hear. They aren't understanding the complexity of their situation. They continually are being delivered, but they continually go back into sin. They're not getting it. And so as the Lord comes with the word, He speaks. And you think the Lord would finish. You see, He tells them who He is and what He's done and what Israel has done in their disobedience. But then you would think that He would say, "Now do this," or "Now this is going to happen to you." But He doesn't. He just stops in verse 10. He says, you've disobeyed me. And he stops. And the angel of the Lord comes. The angel of the Lord comes where Israel deserves the covenant promises to be to them. They ought to be destroyed for their disobedience. As we see in verse 11, the angel of the Lord comes and he here is slow to anger, isn't he? He should destroy Israel. They should have the covenant promises to them, but he spares Israel once again, just as he spares us in Christ. The Lord equips Gideon, judge. He raises up a judge in verse 12 with everything he needs when he says, the Lord is with you. He's equipped. Even this man who's, look at the devastation of the land where Gideon is beating out the wheat in the wine press. He's not at the threshing floor. That's the devastation. He's trying to hide the wheat, and so he's doing it at the wine press. And Gideon responds with a lack of understanding in verse 13. The Lord has said, the Lord is with you. And then he responds in verse 13, perhaps like we often respond. Well, you say that you're with us, and yet all this has happened. How can you be with us, and all this is happening around us? That's sometimes our response, isn't it? And we have all these things going on in our lives, and we read in Psalm 23, the Lord is with us. Here, the Lord is with us. It doesn't seem like the Lord's with us. Now, Gideon has been raised to be a judge in Israel. He knows he's completely inadequate for the task, and yet the Lord reminds him again in verse 16, surely I will be with you. And you shall defeat Midian as one man. And so God gives assurance. Even though it might not seem like I'm with you, I'm still with you. He tells them that he will be with them. He'll do exactly what he needs to do, even though if it might be by himself, he will be equipped to do exactly what he needs to do to deliver Israel. The Lord is with him. But he asks for a sign. Because what he sees is, and the angel of the Lord is a man. He's not quite sure that this is from the Lord, and so he asks for a sign to make sure that this is from the Lord, and this man is not just saying, well, the Lord's going to be with you. And so he makes the food, and that man consumed that fire with fire, that food, and the bowl of broth, and at that time Gideon then understood that that angel of the Lord was the Lord. Right? Even the description in verse 14 of the angel of the Lord, it says that the angel of the Lord was the Lord. The Lord looked at him and said, right? And then Gideon finally, in verse 22, understands that this was the Lord. Alas, O Lord God, for now I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He's in fear. Remember that promise that if you see the face of God, you will die. He knew that. Probably from the time of and what he's heard maybe of Moses in that time. But he's assured that he will not die. He's comforted. And the story moves on, and Gideon is charged with destroying the altar of Baal. Because our God is a jealous God, if Israel is going to worship him, if they're going to follow him, if he's going to deliver Israel and save Israel, then he's not going to be saving any more of these people who worship another God. He's going to destroy the God. And you even notice there in the text that the wood that is used for the altar, for an offering to the Lord, is that Asherah, which is an idol. And so even those things used for evil, we learn there a little lesson that they can be used for good, to offer to the Lord. There's nothing evil in and of itself. It's just wood. But it's worship. That's what's wrong with it. It's worshipped, and so even here it's used for an offering of the Lord. That's an aside. Here, we know at the end of this story, the Midianites have still not been defeated. There's still devastation in the land. Baal's been destroyed. The Baal in that city had been destroyed, but the Midianites are still there. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon in verse 34. The men are gathered together from some of the tribes to go to battle. Again, Gideon seeks assurance. He's not so sure about what's going on here. If the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is really upon him, and to strengthen him to defeat this enemy. And so you see the sign of the fleece. He gives more assurance. And so here we learn in chapter 6 that we those things we ought to remember, that the Lord is not ashamed to be our Father. He's not ashamed to be our Father, a father to a child who is seeking assurance, who's seeking comfort, who's seeking safety. Here he reminds them, he assures, reassures us in our fears. He strengthens our faith. And so here we learn that we have a God who treats us as a father treats a child, strengthening them, reassuring them, comforting them, but also a God who is our Savior, because he raises up Gideon, our judge, who is going to save Israel. And so we're reminded of our Savior who saves us truly from our sin, unlike Gideon. Gideon could not do that. And so here we learn that he is with you. Remember that promise. He is with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though you walk through in this world and things don't seem like really being going together, and it seems like, well, God is not with us, because if he was with us and all these things weren't happening, when it seems like that, God is saying, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And I'm going to deliver you at the right time. Maybe not in this life, but he will deliver you from your sin, and he'll deliver you from this present evil age, and you will enter into the heavenly places in glory, where we will worship him forever and ever because of Christ and the gift of faith that he's given to us in him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We do thank you for your comfort and your assurance to us that you give to us because of our frailty, even though when we don't really understand the situation where it doesn't seem like you are really with us, yet you continually remind us that you're with us and you are there. You are present among us. We have the Holy Spirit, just as Gideon had the Spirit. We pray that we would be we would have that assurance. We would remember the Spirit that is within us and working in us to bring about sanctification, who brought about salvation. Those who don't have the Spirit, send your Spirit to them if it be your will. Those who are of your elect, you would give your Spirit and change their hearts from stone to flesh and give them that great comfort that the Lord is with them. And Lord, we pray that you would confirm in us through the fruit that is produced in us, not because of our own strength, but because of your working in us. As we see fruit of in our lives, the good works that come from faith, we pray that we would see you working in those things and remember the salvation that you've brought to us. We also pray that you would give us assurance through the gospel, that if we continue and do have faith in the gospel, we are saved. We're saved from sin and death. And Father, we do ask that you would cause us as Israel, many times here we've seen that they've worshipped other gods. We pray that we would not worship other gods, that you would point out to us, even if you would use the elders of this church to point out any sin that is amongst us, that we would worship the Lord God alone, that we would worship in spirit and in truth, and not according to our own ways, but according to your word. And that we would worship not other things or people or leaders of the church, but we would worship you alone. These are the things we desire, and we lift our requests to you, the God who hears us and answers us because of Jesus and his sacrifice. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.